followed by question and answer from you guys. So as I speak, think of whatever question you want to ask, and I'll do my best to answer your question after this talk. So the question for us today is, what do I have to do to be free? And we've just heard a story that Jesus told in the Bible. And it's a famous story about a younger son who looks to be free. And to be free, he's going to follow the script that we too have been given. But in this story, there's going to be a paradox. And Jesus is going to use this paradox to flip the script for this young man and also for us today, to flip our upside down world the right way back up. So what is the script that we've been told? The script we've been told is this. What do I have to do to be free? Well, the answer is this. Do whatever you want. Don't listen to anyone else. Only you can choose what to do. Or simply, you do you. And we see this in the story that Jesus tells. Jesus tells a story. There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. So we meet this younger son who lives under the roof of his father. But the younger son says, "Father, I want my money now." And he takes this money and he's set free. He is free from tradition. He's free from authority. He's free from expectations. And he's free to travel. And he's free to spend his money how he wants on wild living. Now, Stephanie, my wife and I, every now and then we do a date night. And once we thought we would do a date night in a very trendy hamburger place in the inner city. But when we got there, boom, there was a long line of young people queuing up, waiting to go in. Because at the front of the line was a bouncer checking everyone's ID. Because it didn't matter how old or young you looked, you had to show ID to get in. So Stephanie and I, we joined the back of the line and we pulled out our IDs because it didn't matter how old or young you looked, he was checking everyone's ID. And bit by bit, we edged down the front. We have our IDs ready because no matter how old or young you looked, he was checking everyone's ID. But when we got to the front, he looked at Stephanie and me, and we looked so old. He just waved us in without checking our IDs. And we thought, "Oh, ouch, at least pretend you had to check our IDs." But why do we check for IDs? Because in our Western storyline, if you are 18, you are free, you are mature, and you can do whatever you want. In a bar, you can choose to drink the drink you want to drink. You are free to travel wherever you want to travel, and you are free to spend your money however you want to spend your money. It's a great story of Western freedom. My wife and I, we lived in the USA for 5 years, and the USA is the land of the free. You are free to do whatever you want. And so I love going to restaurants in America because you look at the menu and you can tell the waiter, "Hey, I want the chicken salad sandwich, but hey, instead of chicken, can you give me ham? And instead of salad, can you give me cheese?" And they will do it for you. You are free to change the menu however you want. You are free to define reality on your own terms. You are free to define morality on your own terms. And you are free to define yourself on your own terms. This is our Western storyline of freedom. And it's a great story. It's the reason why you can date whoever you want to date, not who mum and dad tell you to date. It's the reason why you can live in whatever city you want to live in, not the city that mum and dad grew up in. It's the reason why you can choose to do whatever job you want, not the job that mum and dad want you to do. It's a story of unchecked freedom. But if it's so good, why are we so miserable, exhausted, and trapped? Well, this is the paradox. This is the paradox of freedom. If I'm so free, why am I so trapped? Let's go back to the story. Jesus in the story says this. After the younger son had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. The wheels fall off for the young man. But why? Well, this is the paradox of freedom. There are three paradoxes. Paradox number one is this. Freedom can actually lead to anxiety. A long time ago, my wife and I were traveling in Italy. And in Rome, there's a must-go-to gelato place. So Stephanie and I, again, lined up. But as we're lining up, we realize there are like 500 flavors to choose from. And we couldn't work out what we wanted. And bit by bit, as we're edging closer and closer to the front, we still didn't know what we wanted. And by the time we come to the front, we still didn't know what we wanted. It was so stressful. So what should have given us choice actually created anxiety instead. And we all know that feeling. When you go to a restaurant, and you think, okay, I'll order the pizza, she'll order the chicken. And then when your pizza comes, you look at a chicken and think, oh, I should have got the chicken instead. This is the paradox of choice. Barry Schwartz, writer, TED speaker, he writes on this, and the paradox of choice, why more is less. Freedom, unchecked freedom, actually gives us anxiety and stress. Paradox number two is this. Freedom can lead to loneliness. This is Esther Perel. She's a relationship counselor, sex therapist. She's got a podcast called Where Should We Begin? Millions and millions of downloads. I'm not sure she's a Christian, but I remember listening on one podcast and this lady rang in. And she was describing how she came from a traditional country, but she left that traditional country to be free from expectations, free from tradition, free from her tribe, to start a brand new life in New York. But now that she was free, she was lonely. She was profoundly lonely. And the reason for that is this. This is Mark Sayers. He's a pastor in Melbourne. He's got a book called The Reappearing Church. He explains we actually have three tanks in our life. One tank is for freedom. One tank is for relationships. Another tank is for meaning. And we need all three tanks to be filled, to be functioning, to have a flourishing life. But everything comes and goes. Everything's, got checks and balances. So if we want to increase the quality of our relationships, well, then we got to give up our freedoms, because with relationships comes responsibility. If we want more meaning and purpose in our life, and again, we got to then give up some of our freedom, because with meaning comes a story bigger than just our own story to live for. But Mark says what we've done in the West is this. We have, boom, done. We have maxed out our tank on freedom. But that means at a cost, we have had to empty our relationships and meaning buckets. And this is what it's led to. With freedom, we get consumerism, hedonism, and individualism, yes, but it comes at a price. And this is the price we pay. Isolation, loneliness, tribalism, paralysis, depression, discontent, confusion, and emptiness. This is why we're so miserable, exhausted, and trapped. Paradox number three is this. Freedom isn't free. Now, every night, every parent does the same ritual. Every night, every parent in this room has the same ritual where forever you just try and tell your kids to go to bed. Go to bed. Just go to bed. Go to bed. Just go to bed. Why? Because when your kids finally go to bed, boom, it's Netflix. You can watch Netflix on your own terms. You can watch whatever you want now on Netflix. And it's never just Netflix, because it's Netflix red wine. But this is what I call now the Netflix red wine imbalance, dissonance. Because you start your episode of Netflix, you pour yourself a glass of wine, but when you finish your episode of Netflix, you're only halfway through your glass of wine, so now you have to start another episode of Netflix. But then when you finish your glass of wine, you're only halfway through that episode, so now you have to have another glass of wine, and before you know, boom, it's happened again, it's midnight, and you've drunk a whole bottle of wine. So I said to a nurse at work, do I have a problem? And she said, well, have you had the Netflix screen of shame yet? I said, wow, what's the Netflix screen of shame? She said, if you watch Netflix long enough, boom, your screen will go blank and it says, are you still watching? And you see yourself in the reflection of your TV screen with your tub of ice cream, bottle of wine, and you just think, yes, yes, I'm still watching. And I had a friend tell me, she was there in front of the TV, tub of ice cream, you know, chocolates, bottle of wine, and suddenly her young daughter had woken up and opened the door and come in. And the daughter looked at the mother, looked down, and then the daughter just said, this is what mummy does at night. And yes, this is what mummy does at night, because mummy is a grown-up. And that means you are free to do whatever you want to do. Yes, but it comes at a price. Our unchecked freedoms come at a price, and we pay for it. We pay for it with sleep debt. We pay for it with credit card debt. And we pay for it with addictions. Alexander the Great said this about the Persians. Alexander the Great said this: the Persians, well, they will always be slaves because they don't know how to say no. We become slaves to the very things we live for. So how can we flip the script? Flipping the script. Let's go to the story. When the young son came to his senses, he said, well, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out, go back to my father, say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up, he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. The father ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to the father, Father, I've sinned against heaven, sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf, let's kill it, let's have a feast, let's celebrate, because this son of mine was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost, but he's found. So they began to celebrate. The younger son comes home to his father, and he discovers what philosophers call double freedom: freedom from and freedom for. Freedom from the pain, hurt, shame, and regret, and freedom for restoration, healing, and forgiveness. But at the same time, we think, well, how is this free? Because he's now back under the roof of his father. How is this freedom? Well, I like to go surfing when I'm on holidays. And there was one time I was surfing. It was late in the evening. The sun was setting, and boom, there I saw some black, shiny fins coming towards me, and I'm thinking, shark, and it's coming closer and closer and closer and closer, and it came straight at me, went under my surfboard, and that's when I saw, oh, it was dolphins, whoo. But us surfers, we love dolphins, because dolphins, they're beautiful, they have a power, they have a grace, and when they swim, they're free, they play, they frolic, they leap, they zip, they just have so much fun. But yes, only while they stay in the water. Because when they come out of the water, there's no more power. There's no more grace. There's no more beauty. There's no more freedom. So we have to live according to our design. So what's our design? To be free, we have to live according to our design. Flipping the script then, we are at our most free when we live according to our design, and dolphins are designed for water. So what are we designed for? Flipping the script again, we are at our most free when we live according to our constraints. Dolphins are constrained by water. What are our constraints? Well, the son comes home to the father. What is our design? What are our constraints? Well, most people agree. We're designed for community, not to be alone. We're designed to give, not just to take. And we're designed for worship. We need transcendence. We need purpose. We need something more. We need something bigger than our own story. We need to worship. And this is why Jesus says, this is a truth that will set you free. If we know this, this will set you free. Jesus says, you'll know the truth. and the truth will set you free. And the truth is this, we are designed, just like dolphins are designed to be in water, we're designed to be in God, in Jesus. And then Jesus says, come to me. In the same way in the story, the son comes back to the father. Jesus says, well, come to me, all you who are weary, burdened, and I will give you rest. And then Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle, I'm humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But as I'm reading this, what yoke? Isn't that big thing you put on a cow and make it go where you want it to go? That's like putting a saddle on a wild horse. How is this freedom? Wow, I love playing with a yo-yo, because when you play with a yo-yo, you know, you can make it spin, you make it do the loop, you can do tricks with it, but only when it's attached to a string. See, it is at its most free when it's attached to its constraint, a string. When you have no string, then the yo-yo is useless. It actually loses its freedom. And Jesus says, hey, make me your constraint. Make me your yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Live my way, and you will be at your most free. This is the famous theologian Augustine. Well, I'm thinking if Augustine was alive today, this is what he would look like. Augustine was from North Africa, 300 AD. And Augustine, North Africa, became a famous theologian, but he wasn't always a Christian. He used to live a life of unchecked freedom, traveled the world, spent his money how he wanted, spent it on passions, he spent it on pleasures, but then he discovered he was miserable, he was empty, he was trapped, he was lonely, and that's where he opened the pages of the Bible, discovered God, and came back to God. And Augustine writes this famous thing about his discovery of God, and he says, oh God, but today we'd say yo God. So Augustine says, yo God, you designed us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Just like dolphins are designed to be in water, we've been designed to be in God, in Jesus, and that's when we're at our most free. So let's go back to the original question. What do I have to do to be free? And we've seen today that the script we're given is do whatever you want, don't listen to anyone else, only you can choose what to do. You do you. But the paradox has been this. If we live this way, why am I so trapped? And then if we flip it, it's this. It's because we're at our most free when we live according to our design. Dolphins are designed for water. We're designed for God. And we're at our most free when we live according to our constraints. And just like dolphins are constrained by water and they're at their most free, we're constrained by living in Jesus. Now, to understand freedom, I thought I'd tell you the story of this person who you guys probably know of. His name is Andrew Chen. And he grew up in this area. He grew up in Enfield. He went to Homebush Boys High. And he too looked for a life of freedom. And he too found that it landed him trapped in a literal jail in Bali for drug trafficking. And while he was in jail, his brother brought him a Bible. And Andrew Chen started reading the pages of the Bible. And at first, it didn't make sense. But after reading it, it made sense. And he discovered Jesus. And he discovered what it was like to know, love, and worship Jesus. And to be in Jesus. And Andrew Chen writes, he says, I said, God, if you're real, and if this is true, I want you to free me. And if you do, I'll serve you every day for the rest of my life. I went to my court hearing, but they convicted me, and they gave me the death penalty. When I got back to my cell, I said, God, I ask you to set me free, not kill me. And God spoke to me and said, Andrew, I have set you free from the inside out. I have given you life. And from that moment on, I haven't stopped worshiping him. I had never sung before, never led worship, until Jesus set me free. And as you know, shortly after writing these words, they did kill him. They executed him. They tied him to a post and they had a firing squad and they shot him. But while he was waiting to be shot, he had time to sing two hymns. And the first hymn was Amazing Grace. And we just sang Amazing Grace, how God sets us free. It's his grace, it's his gift that sets us free. Our chains are gone, I've been set free. But the second song he sung was this. It's the one we call 10,000 Reasons. And he would have been singing this line, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name." And we're going to sing this song in a little while. And I dare you, if we sing those words in our hearts, in our minds, that is when we will be most free. Because we have been designed to be in Jesus. We've been designed to worship, to give rather than just to take. And if we sing these lines in our hearts, in our minds, and we discover what it's like to be in Jesus, that is when we will be at our most free.